Matthew 11, 29.
You see, the love of God is easy for a person that's made to love. Would anyone disagree with that? I always talk about butterflies. Is it hard for them to fly? They're made to fly. Is it hard for a bird to fly? They're made to fly. Well, when God makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus, the love of God, the Bible says in Romans, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when you're made to love, it's easy for you to love. You do it. I always teach that you love effortlessly. If you could love yourself, your fellow man, and God perfectly, you would have no more sin problem at all. Well, this isn't a perfect world. We don't always love perfectly. So I can't say you'll ever get rid of all your sin problem till you get to heaven. All right? But you can make great strides. And the first thing you need to do is kick life-destroying addictions out of your life. Because although God... See, this is the way the New Testament works. There is no more law. There's no law. All the law has been blotted out against us that receive Christ. The law still fits the people of the world that have never received Christ. It still works on them. It kills them. The law kills them. But when we receive Christ, the law is done away with, and now you can't really disappoint God. But God is concerned about you because He cannot undo His one saying in the Scripture that says, you will reap whatever you sow. You will have, God will not be mocked. As a man sows, that will he also reap. And God can't undo that Scripture or blot that Scripture out just for your benefit if you're working on the wrong side of that Scripture. That's why we hear about so many people that live in this place passing away. I think the last one just passed away within the last two weeks. He wasn't here at the time. But I got a name of a guy that just less than 2 weeks ago passed away. The one before that was a week or two. One before that was a month or two. And it goes on and on and on and on. I think we had 15 people last year. But you see, the sin, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. That's James 1. And so sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But let's look at this one, Matthew 11. Now, Jesus, remember I said Jesus came sharing the love of God? And Jesus had an interesting message for people. I honestly think while He was still on the earth, they couldn't get it. He had to go to heaven, send the Holy Spirit, give it to somebody like Peter and the Apostle Paul, give the Holy Spirit, so they could interpret what Jesus was teaching when He was here. They did not get it while He was here. But we have what He said recorded. All right? Look what He says here in... actually, we'll go to Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Do you guys, you know, everyone in this room knows how heavy an addiction is. It's like the weight of the whole world is on your shoulders when you're addicted to something. You know it's always there. You know it's always about a foot out from you. Even when you're sober or dry or clean, it's always about a foot out from you. And you know if you just think the wrong way, it's just going to go and just take you over. It is so heavy. It is so destructive. It is so evil. You feel the evil of an addiction. You feel it. It's there close. Well, Jesus didn't suffer from any addictions. In this clever maneuver, His father caused him to be born of a virgin. That's because all sin passes through the male, not the female. The Bible says that. So he got a virgin, and God did a miracle, with the Holy Spirit did a miracle in her body, and brought about an embryo, and it was a righteous seed. And they say the seed of Christ is actually the seed of the Word of God. God spoke the Word of God into her, and the Word of God started growing in her womb as a baby. And now he's perfectly righteous when he comes on the earth. And, I mean, he was a scholar at 12 years old in the temple, impressing priests. And here he is. But you see, you got to be careful about putting him in such a class by himself. He's the firstborn of many sons and daughters. Everybody see that? We're joint heirs with him. We all have equal access to the cookie jar of God with Jesus. He gets heaven, we get heaven. He gets the love of his Father, we get the love of his Father. Isn't that interesting when he taught the Lord's Prayer? He says, "Our Father," it's like, "You're all my brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest brother." And so, burden, addictions and bondages are heavy. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest is being clean and sober. That's rest. You can rest in God every day. You can get drunk in God. You can be... These apostles and disciples in the book of Acts had trouble staying sober from not being drunk from the Holy Spirit. The truth is, that's how God wanted them. Is drunk in the Holy Spirit. You know, did you know it's totally against my nature to stand here in front of you and lead you in a song? And yet, I've done that several times now in here. And I got a bad voice. And I lead people in here in songs. And some of you sing along with me. You know, I can't do that unless I'm drunk. And when I'm teaching you here, I'm drunk. I'm feeling it. The Holy Spirit has got me slightly under the influence, sometimes more than others. And sometimes when I close my eyes and I pray, and I start releasing like this, I start rocking. It's just like, oh, whoa. And you know what? In our meetings sometimes people do that. We stand in a circle, we put our hands on people, and they start rocking. Some of them even fall down. And I'm telling you, God likes us drunk. Paul in Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He's given you the other way to be drunk. You see what I mean? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, what he means is, don't be drunk with wine, be drunk with the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, all those guys are out there staggering around at 9 a.m. And all the people of the city said, look at that. They are drunk, and it's only the ninth hour of the day. And Peter says, this is not what you think it is. These men have drank no alcohol. These men have the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Christians are great risk takers. That are drunk, I mean. To walk into a place that's a dangerous bar where everybody feels like fighting and start preaching. To walk down the river levee, you know, and trying to find guys to preach to. Going out to the park. Had a couple guys going out to the park and finding people to preach to. We used to come down to the park downtown, hand out blankets and sack lunches, you know, preach to people. Some people get mad. We didn't care, you know. And so you take risks when you're drunk. You also don't have any inhibitions when you're drunk, which gets a lot of you in trouble. You know, like with the law and business establishments and your fellow man. But see, God's drunk people in the Holy Spirit do not are not rude and disorderly, because God has a goodness that comes with this drunkenness. He has a love that comes through it where you won't hurt anybody, you know. And you can operate a car perfectly, And if they pull you over, they can't detect anything in your blood. I'm telling you, this is real. If the Bible didn't say it, I wouldn't even preach it. But I preach it because the Bible says it. But as a little added benefit, I've experienced it. So now I can really preach it because I've got it. I experience it. It happens to me. It happens to people. I want you to get as much as you can out of this scripture. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why do you think I say to people, you can remove your addiction effortlessly? As long as you are receiving Christ, getting drunk on living under the influence every day, it's possible, isn't it? Every day under the influence. And it's like you love God, you love yourself. You know, the Holy Spirit has a tangible presence. It, you know, tangible means you can cut something with the knife, it's so thick. He's in me right now. And He's flowing out of me in my words, in my mannerisms, in my mouth, in my eyes. And He's in some of you or all of you right now, and you're hearing me and you're getting it. And that's the Holy Spirit. It's a tangible presence. Praise God. So you need to see, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. In other words, anything He's told you to do, He's no longer telling you, thou shalt not, 10 times. He's no longer telling you that. He's just saying, love, love, love. And He tells you to love, and He says, that burden is light. You can carry it. You can do it. It's easy. It's effortless.